Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. You might have heard about this story late last year. Police officers were called to Esterbrook Park when gunshots were heard. When they got there, they found a lot more than a few guns. They found Jeffrey Graff, the man who would become infamous for building two bunkers along the Milwaukee River, where he'd lived for 15 years. Initially, the story raised a lot more questions than it answered. Like, how was he able to build them in the middle of a city without raising suspicion? Why did he build them, and why did he continue to live in them? Journalist Dan Simmons answers many of these questions in his recent article about the life of Jeffrey Graff, featured in this month's Milwaukee Magazine. He joins me from his home to talk about it. Dan, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Great to be here. Thanks, Joy.
So for people who are unfamiliar with this story, this is a very difficult question, but what is your quick summary for this situation, or at the very least, how we all became familiar with this situation?
Tough to do, but I'll try in 30 seconds or less. A man was living in a patch of woods across from Esterbrook Park in Milwaukee for 15 years. No one really would have known this, except that last November, someone called 911 and said, there are some gunshots. We heard gunshots by Esterbrook Park. Numerous police cruisers arrived and they found this man who had been living quite anonymously by the river for the last 15 years, who told them that my dogs escaped, I got frustrated, and I shot 3 times into the river. What unfolded then was the police discovering not just one, but 2 bunkers, one of which was no longer occupied by him, but still had a lot of his belongings, and the other of which was a 2-part bunker, one kind of a storage shed underground, essentially filled with random bicycle parts and tools, power tools. And then close to that was another, was the living space bunker, which was about 20 feet long and 12 feet wide and 6 feet high, in which were, among tons of other stuff, were at least 4 guns and a bow and arrow fashioned from, I believe, a bicycle wheel.
Yeah, the bunkers and kind of what's inside of them was really interesting. How would you describe what these bunkers look like?
He was a skilled craftsman and builder, so he took care to shore up the walls of his bunkers. He had a bed down there. He had a generator so he could power a stove and a light and such. It was, as bunkers go, pretty sophisticated and homey, you might say.
Yeah. And when you get into his history, you start to understand how he was able to do this and perhaps why he did this. But I think that really gets to the question that everyone has listening to this story. How does Jeff end up in the bunker?
Yeah, interesting route. Learned a lot of things that I certainly wouldn't have expected. He grew up in Milwaukee as the child of a single mother, I should say the only child of a single mother, who was very successful and very supportive. She works as an analytical chemist. And he had shown from an early age unusual intelligence. He started reading on his own when he was 2. He was playing chess when he was 3. So that really foretold a future of success and promise, but things just didn't work out for him. He was sort of his own worst enemy. He was so smart that he was kind of bored in school. He didn't do well socially at all. He bounced around different Milwaukee public schools and private schools in elementary school. And finally, he got to a point where the schools wouldn't have him anymore, and he refused to go anymore. And so he had to find another place to live. And so his mom offered him a choice, and he chose to live with his grandparents in Pennsylvania. And they live on a rural patch of land in western Pennsylvania, not too far from Pittsburgh, that offered him sort of the space he needed. And he went there and really thrived. He went to a technical high school where he learned advanced machining, I believe, in addition to his regular studies. And he did things like go to formal dances and make the honor roll and live a pretty normal, upwardly mobile high school life. He graduated from high school. His grandparents bought him a sports car. It was kind of an all-American story for a while, but he declined quickly. He got into the party lifestyle, and that precipitated his decline. He got into some trouble for drunk driving and drug use out in Pennsylvania that required him to move back to Milwaukee in his early 20s. And when he came back to Milwaukee, his demons just kind of smothered him. He continued his party lifestyle. He worked a bunch of odd jobs, but he had real problems getting along with anyone, and was known to spout conspiracy theories about how the world's out to get him and everyone's evil. So he just kind of tried to find a fit in life, and it just eluded him. He eventually just sort of gave up on people altogether and became very into dogs, particularly German shepherds. So those were his protectors and buddies, and he pretty much tuned out most of humanity and just lived his life with his dogs. And he sort of couldn't keep a place to live. He was always getting in fights with landlords and roommates. And given all that, he moved into his van for a while. And at some point, he just perhaps had this idea that, there's this very remote patch of woods that's right in the city that offers all the amenities that he needs without having to deal with any of the parts of life that really gave him trouble. So he just homesteaded there.
Well, and you know, Jeff, of course, he's still around. He's sitting in jail right now. That's my understanding. What has he said about how he ended up there, why he stayed there?
He has said nothing. I wasn't able to reach him. He's incarcerated, and from all reports, in a very bad mental state. You might imagine a guy who so cherishes freedom to roam and explore and be apart from humanity struggled a lot in the tight confines of a jail. So since he has been locked up, which started last November, he cut off all ties with his family. I know of one of his friends who was able to visit him early on, who said that he was in the general population who wear orange jumpsuits at the start. And the second time he visited him, he was in a red jumpsuit, which means he was in isolation because apparently he had threatened a guard. There are reports that perhaps he's in isolation or has spent a lot of time in isolation. Another puzzling thing is that he had two court appearances in, I believe it was February and April. And even though he's in custody, he didn't appear for these hearings, which is very unusual. So something is going on with his mental state.
Well, and of course, I think anyone hearing this story is going to say, well, hasn't something always been going on with his mental state? But that's another question. Is he someone who has a history of mental illness? When he was taken in initially, was he considered mentally ill or not?
Yeah, he his mom told me that he had diagnosed mental illness as early as elementary school. He spent some time in the county mental health hospital. In fact, I think two or three stints, and he was diagnosed with various things, for sure, ADHD, you know, which is a all things considered, you know, pretty common and low level affliction. But he was also given medication for, I believe it was schizotypal disorder and borderline personality. So he's sort of been in contact with mental health providers his whole life. It just doesn't seem like any of them was able to really help him and set him on a better course. And as an adult, he had to do a competency evaluation in a low-level criminal case he was involved in, and I think it was 2010. And in that case, they deemed him competent to stand trial.
It feels intuitively like Jeff Graff was failed by the system. But one of the stories that stuck out to me in your article was he'd gone to a job fair, he was offered a job, he was offered a very unique opportunity that I think we believe that anyone in his situation living in a bunker in a park would jump at working in a bank. But he chose to stay in the bunker. We know what puts him into the bunker initially. Why do you think he stays?
I think he found his place in life. He had tried the conventional path of renting a place, working a job, doing the things that most of us do to survive in life. And that just wasn't for him. He sort of had this call of the wild, and he was able to satisfy that. He could have amenities that kept him alive, kept him warm, kept him fed, without having to deal with all of the stuff in life that gave him all kinds of grief.
Yeah. Well, Dan Simmons, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
Of course. Thank you, Joy.
Dan Simmons is a local journalist whose article about Jeffrey Graff was featured in this month's Milwaukee Magazine. You can find more of our conversations with Milwaukee Magazine at wuwm.com.